This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Now, interstate borders have been open for more or less a week, but international travel is still pretty tightly controlled. Malaysians can travel overseas, foreign tourists still can't come in. An opinion piece in the Malay Mail is arguing that we should just open our borders fully, so we dive in.
So that op-ed was actually written by Jayant Menon, who you will be hearing from shortly. And he argues that since it's safe to open domestic borders, even despite the fact that community outbreaks continue to happen, that it should technically also be safe to open international borders for the same reasons. And of course, that involves the fact that we have high vaccination rates and there is a real economic value to be gained from doing so.
Yes. So one of the main reasons for continuing to restrict international travel is to curb the entry of new COVID-19 variants. But I think one of the arguments that's being put forth here is also that with Delta increasingly becoming the dominant strain here anyway, again, it all comes back to if we're already accepting that we want to move towards an endemic phase, if we are accepting that we're allowing motion between states and people are being able to travel freely, then just the logic of extending it right to international borders seems to be there. Now, because we are speaking to Jayant, I don't necessarily want to trample all over the points he's going to make, but I think just speaking from a psychological point of view, there is still a big block for many people. And I bring up the psychological part because I think that when it comes to managing the pandemic, while we can talk until we're blue in the face about being science-led, about balancing lives and livelihoods and all these other more or less catchphrases that we've been hearing over the last couple of years, the truth is that so much of what we do still rests in emotional persuasion, either in trying to make people feel a little bit better about the circumstances we've been living in over the last year, or in trying to assure people or make people feel safe. And I think for whatever reason, international travel, international borders opening up has never really felt safe, perhaps because it's been so long since it actually happened.
I think that's partly it, isn't it? It really depends where you live, how long your country has been closed off for. And also, the thing is, there is, though, on the one hand, the actual scientific rationale for opening things up. On the other hand, though, from the perspective of the average citizen, sometimes things can feel like the goalposts keep moving. And I think that creates a certain amount of anxiety. I'm actually very interested to hear what Jayant has to say, because I certainly feel that sort of psychological block to this idea of, well, no more restrictions, everyone can come back and forth, even though I completely understand the economic value of it. Singapore, of course, for instance, has resumed quarantine-free travel for vaccinated people from, I think, more than 10 countries at this point, and they're looking to approve more. And those countries are those with low infection and high vaccination rates. So I recognize that there are ways to do this with safeguards in place, but the heart and the mind often don't sync.
Yeah, that's entirely it. Also because we come back to our vaccination rates, which in order to have opened up domestic travel had to have exceeded that 90% mark anyway. But I think beyond that, the education perhaps of what that 90% marker actually means in terms of safety or in terms of risk, in terms of transmissibility, we have a lot of numbers available to us. But I think that we also have a lot of questions. I'm not actually saying that I think that the MOH or the Ministry of Tourism or anything like that has to constantly send out explainers. But I think that generally for most of us, we've talked about this, right? We've become quite accustomed to having to do the risk math all the time. But because there's, like you said, shifting goalposts and a constant amount of information, we've got COVID now, we've got the R-naught, we've got our vaccination percentages. And so I think contextualizing those numbers into real life terms is kind of a tricky one and is an important thing to consider. But yes, we're talking about opening up international borders fully, which is an argument being made in an opinion piece by our upcoming, by our guest. We're just about to speak to him. Let us know what you think. Should international borders open fully? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be joined after this by Dr. Jayant Menon, visiting senior fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to The Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about opening up international borders fully. As we know, interstate borders have been open. But when it comes to international travel, it really is still only Malaysians being allowed to travel overseas, still with the 14-day quarantine requirement, while foreign tourists are not allowed in yet. So, there is an argument being made at the moment that with domestic travel open, we might as well open our international borders. So we want to know what you think. Should international borders be opened fully? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Dr. Jayant Menon, visiting senior fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute. He wrote an opinion piece published on Monday questioning the rationale behind these strict controls for international travel. Jayant, thanks for joining us.
Yes, hi, Lynn. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes, excellent. You're coming through loud and clear. So I wanted to start by looking at your opinion piece where you talked about how continuing to have stringent measures for international travel might not have value, especially with domestic travel already being allowed. Could you talk to us about your rationale behind this?
Yeah, sure. So I think the first thing to point out is that I'm not calling for borders to be open blatantly or completely without any controls in place. I think every country that has opened borders has done so in a selective way, where they've focused on countries usually with low infection rates and high vaccination rates. And then travelers are still subject to all kinds of protocols like testing before and after, and sometimes even quarantine, which domestic travelers don't normally have to undergo. So it's really about narrowing the differences between restrictions at the border and inside the border. I think there's value in doing that to improve economic outcomes without jeopardizing your health objectives. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. And that gap between intra and inter-border travel or international travel and domestic travel, the gap on restrictions are too wide, and there's value in narrowing them going forward.
Now, if we take a look at the economic cost, what has been the impact of keeping international borders mostly closed?
Well, the costs are high. We know that. Exactly how much is, of course, you know, difficult to determine. But, you know, tourism is a very important part of the Malaysian economy. The official estimate is about 6% of GDP, but the actual impact is likely to be a lot higher. You know, the Minister for Tourism has said that about one in four jobs are tied in one way or the other to tourism. And actually, a lot of these jobs are the lower-skilled, low-income jobs. So there's a social imperative here as well to try and address tourism to, you know, help the people that have been worst hit by this pandemic. So it's very important to the economy, but it's much more important than the statistics suggest.
You opened up our chat by talking about that gap that exists between interstate and international travel, and the quarantine is a big part of that. Because, of course, even right now, overseas travel is allowed for Malaysians, but there is still that 14-day quarantine upon coming back to the country. How do you see this impacting people's decision to travel? Does it have a huge impact?
I think if you have a 14-day quarantine in place, certainly people are not going to be willing to travel for leisure. They might travel if they have to, for whatever reason, a personal or social reason, or business reason. But for a holiday, if you're going to spend 14 days on return in quarantine, and maybe even on your way out, in the country you go to, then the incentives to do so will be quite low. So I think if you want to promote tourism, then the quarantine will have to be either removed or reduced drastically.
One key reason, of course, that that's been given for restricting international travel is to prevent the entry of new COVID variants. How might this be accounted for if we do allow international travel?
Yes, I think this is the main concern of most people, lay people, as well as politicians all along the way. And this is, I think, because we started getting the original virus when it crossed into our country through borders. And I think we haven't given up on that idea in the back of our minds. I think the experience, however, suggests that border closures have not been successful in keeping out the original or subsequent variants. We know this. Even the countries that have almost completely closed their borders, like New Zealand and Australia, they're not even letting some of their own citizens return. Even they haven't succeeded. And they're isolated countries that have easy borders to police. So if they could keep out new variants, I would not be suggesting an opening. But the evidence is clear that they cannot. In fact, the protection from new variants comes from domestic protocols, not border closures. That's very clear from the experience in every country, including the ones that have been most stringent, like Australia and New Zealand. The variant will find a way in because we don't completely close the border. That's not sustainable. And once it comes in, it's usually things like a quarantine breakdown that leads to the breakthrough infections that we see happening in every country.
So if we look at these calls to loosen border restrictions, they're particularly strong when it comes to, allowing travel between Malaysia and Singapore. How would this benefit both countries?
I think the one thing that both countries can do to improve their economies safely is to open that border between each other. There's a lot of interdependency between the two countries. It's not an equal dependency relationship, but it's very high for both countries. So we have a lot of Malaysians working in Singapore. We have a lot of Singaporeans that travel to Malaysia, a lot of Malaysians who want to return. The traffic across the border is very high, and it has had a huge impact on both countries. So I think if you're going to open any border, the one that makes sense is that separates Malaysia from Singapore. And both countries have very high vaccination rates, and now both have outbreaks domestically. So I don't know what it is that we're trying to keep out from each other. We both have the virus circulating in the community. And that's circulating because it's so highly transmissible, not because it's being imported. So opening the border will have huge economic benefits without having much of an impact on the health outcome.
What are some examples that we can look to other countries for in terms of how to deal with implementing safety measures and reopening borders?
Right. So there are quite a few things we can learn from the experience of others. I think the first thing is, who you open to. That's, again, a function of the infection rate and the vaccination rate. But also importantly now, more than ever, is your domestic hospital capacity. So I think what we are seeing is that there will be a surge in infection rates when you open up domestically. And that might increase a little bit more when you open up internationally. But you have to be able to have the local ICU and domestic hospital beds available in case there is that surge. You need to prepare for that. But otherwise, keeping all the other social distancing measures in place, like mask wearing, the physical distancing, and other sort of, good learned behavior is going to be important, because I think what's happening now is we're all getting a bit lethargic and sick and tired, quite understandably, of being cooped up. And we suddenly want to go back to how we were before the pandemic. And we have to guard against that when we start signaling this decision to open up again.
Jayant, what kinds of negotiations might take place between governments when it comes to loosening up borders and just starting to think about and put things in place for that to happen?
I think the first point I want to make is that sometimes you cannot wait for governments to agree on a reciprocal, bilateral agreement. It is in your own interest to open up, and you should do so. And there's no point in waiting for others to let you in as well, if that's the obstacle. Of course, it's better if this can be done in a mutual or reciprocal manner, but that should not be a barrier. Opening up is in your interest, and it's useful when others open up because it will increase the supply of tourism. People are more likely to travel to your country if they don't have to quarantine on return. But that's one issue. It's good to have reciprocal deals, but it shouldn't be a deal breaker. You should proceed unilaterally to begin with, at least. Secondly, there's lots of things that they have to do with mutual recognition, things like vaccination certificates and so on. These things have to be recognized. There's a lot of technical issues to be resolved because a lot of these things are digital now. And so you have to, ensure that they're not fake, the vaccination certs. But all of those things, though, can be done relatively quickly. It should not be a reason to delay opening borders for too much longer. In fact, I think the preparations have been in place for a while. The only thing stopping border opening now is hesitancy and this unjustified fear of importing huge volumes of infected people. There's no evidence to back up that fear, but it is a genuine fear. I believe that people believe it's a concern, but there's no evidence for that sort of concern.
Jayant, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you very much also.
That was Dr. Jayant Menon, Visiting Senior Fellow at the ICS Yusof Ishak Institute, making the case to open up with reason our international borders. And we'd like to know what you think. Should our international borders open up a little bit more than they currently are? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.